He chuckled, and then the chuckle became a wheeze, and the wheeze turned into a cough. Nancy spoke.
Folks like us don't get cancer. We don't get arteriosclerosis or Parkinson's disease or syphilis. We're kind of hard to kill.
I killed Wednesday.
He pulled over for gas and then parked next door at a restaurant for an early breakfast. As they entered, the payphone in the entrance began to jangle. They walked past it without answering it, and it stopped ringing. They gave their orders to an elderly woman with a worried smile who had been sitting reading a paperback copy of What My Heart Meant by Jenny Curtin. The telephone began to ring once more. The woman sighed, then walked back and over to the phone, picked it up, said,
"Yeah?"
Then she looked back at the room, said,
"Yeah, looks like they are. You just hold the line now."
And walked over to Mr. Nancy.
"It's for you."
"Okay,"
said Mr. Nancy.
"Now, ma'am, you make sure those fries are real crisp now. Tink burnt."
He walked over to the payphone.
"This is he,"
he said.
"And what makes you think I'm dumb enough to trust you? I can find it,"
he said.
"I know where it is. Yes. We want it. You know we want it, and I know you want to get rid of it, so don't give me any shit."
He put down the telephone, came back to the table.
"Who was it?"
"Didn't say."
"What do they want?"
"They were offering us a truce while they hand over the body."
"They lie. They want to lure us in, and then they will kill us. What they did to Wednesday,"
he added with gloomy pride,
"is what I always used to do. Promise them anything, but do what you will."
"It's on neutral territory. Truly neutral."
Chernabog chuckled. It sounded like a metal ball rattling in a dry skull.
"I used to say that also. Come to a neutral place, I would say, and then in the night we would rise up and kill them all. Those were the good days."
Mr. Nancy shrugged. He crunched down on his dark brown French fries, grinned his approval.
These are fine fries."
"We can't trust those people."
"Listen, I'm older than you, and I'm smarter than you, and I'm better looking than you,"
said Mr. Nancy, thumping the bottom of the ketchup bottle, blobbing ketchup over his burnt fries.
"I can get more pussy in an afternoon than you'll get in a year. I can dance like an angel, fight like a cornered bear, plan better than a fox, sing like a nightingale."
"And your point here is?"
Nancy's brown eyes gazed into shadows.
"And they need to get rid of the body as much as we need to take it."
"There is no such neutral place."
"There's one. It's the center."
Chernabog shook his head abruptly.
"No, they would not meet us there. They can do nothing to us there. It is a bad place for all of us."
"That's just why they proposed to make the handover at the center."
Chernabog seemed to think about this for a while, and then he said,
"Perhaps."
"When we get back on the road,"
said Shadow,
"you can drive. I need to sleep."
Determining the exact center of anything can be problematic at best. With living things, people, for example, or continents, the problem becomes one of intangibles. What is the center of a man? What is the center of a dream? And in the case of the continental United States, should one count Alaska when one attempts to find the center? Or Hawaii? As the 20th century began, they made a huge model of the USA, the lower 48 states, out of cardboard, and to find the center, they placed it on a pin until they found the single place it balanced. Near as anyone could figure it out, the exact center of the continental United States was several miles from Lebanon in Smith County, Kansas, on Johnny Gribbs's hog farm. By the 1930s, the people of Lebanon were all ready to put a monument up in the middle of the hog farm, but Johnny Gribbs said that he didn't want millions of tourists coming in and tramping all over and upsetting the hogs. And the locals figured he had a point, so they put the monument to the geographical center of the United States 2 miles north of the town. They built a park and a stone monument to put in the park, and put a brass plaque to go on the monument to tell you that you were indeed looking at the exact geographic center of the United States of America. They blacktopped the road from the town to the little park, and certain of the influx of tourists just waiting to come to Lebanon, they even built a motel by the monument. They brought in a little mobile chapel as well and took off the wheels. Then they waited for the tourists and the holidaymakers to come. All the people who wanted to tell the world they'd been at the center of America and marveled and prayed. The tourists did not come. Nobody came. It's a sad little park now, with a mobile chapel in it a little bigger than an ice fishing hut that wouldn't fit a small funeral party, and a motel whose windows look like dead eyes.
Which is why,
concluded Mr. Nancy as they drove into Humansville, Missouri, population 1,084,
the exact center of America is a tiny, run-down park, an empty church, a pile of stones, and a derelict motel.
Hog farm. You just said that the real center of America was a hog farm.
This isn't about what is. It's about what people think is. It's all imaginary anyway. That's why it's important. People only fight over imaginary things.
My kind of people, or your kind of people?
Nancy said nothing. Chernabog made a noise that might have been a chuckle, might have been a snort. Shadow tried to get comfortable in the back of the bus. He had slept a little, but only a little. He had a bad feeling in the pit of his stomach. Worse than the feeling he had had in prison. Worse than the feeling he had had back when Laura had come to him and told him about the robbery. This was bad. The back of his neck prickled. He felt sick, and several times in waves he felt scared. Mr. Nancy pulled over in Humansville, parked outside a supermarket. Mr. Nancy went inside, and Shadow followed him in. Chernabog waited in the parking lot, stretching his legs, smoking his cigarette. There was a young fair-haired man, little more than a boy, restocking the breakfast cereal shelves.
Hey,
said Mr. Nancy.
Hey,
said the young man.
It's true, isn't it? They killed him.
Yes,
said Mr. Nancy.
They killed him.
The young man banged several boxes of Cap'n Crunch down on the shelf.
They think they can crush us like cockroaches,
he said. He had an eruption of acne across one cheek and over his forehead. He had a silver bracelet high on one forearm.
We don't crush that easy, do we?
No, we don't.
I'll be there, sir,
said the young man, his pale blue eyes blazing.
I know you will, Gwydion.
Mr. Nancy bought several large bottles of RC Cola, a six-pack of toilet paper, a pack of evil-looking black cigarillos, a bunch of bananas, and a pack of double mint chewing gum.
He's a good boy. Came over in the 7th century. Welsh.
The bus meandered first to the west, and then to the north. Spring faded back into the dead end of winter. Kansas was the cheerless gray of lonesome clouds, empty windows, and lost hearts. Shadow had become adept at hunting for radio stations, negotiating between Mr. Nancy, who liked talk radio and dance music, and Chernabog, who favored classical music. The gloomier the better, leavened with the more extreme evangelical religious stations. For himself, Shadow liked oldie stations. Toward the end of the afternoon, they stopped at Chernabog's request on the outskirts of Cherryvale, Kansas, population 2,464. Chernabog led them to a meadow outside the town. There were still traces of snow in the shadows of the trees, and the grass was the color of dirt.
Wait here.
He walked alone to the center of the meadow. He stood there in the winds of the end of February for some time. At first he hung his head, then he began gesticulating.
It looks like he's talking to someone.
Ghost. They worshipped him here. Over 100 years ago, they made blood sacrifice to him. Libation spilled with the hammer. After a time, the townsfolk figured out why so many of the strangers who passed through the town did never come back. This was where they hid some of the bodies.
Chernabog came back from the middle of the field. His mustache seemed darker now, and there were streaks of black in his gray hair. He smiled, showing his iron tooth.
I feel good now. Some things linger, and blood lingers longest.
They walked back across the meadow to where they had parked the VW bus.